Next on NPR's From the Top.
For the first time in my entire life, I learned how to breathe.
Just all of a sudden at Tanglewood? What was it, the air or just tightening up the embouchure to keep the black flies out of your mouth?
It's the showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country. And today, from Mechanics Hall in Worcester, Massachusetts, our lineup of outstanding musicians includes a 16-year-old from Andover playing Music for the Piano by John Harbison. And, as you just heard, the members of a young woodwind quintet will tell stories of a practically perfect teenage summer. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hull in Boston. Here's our host, renowned concert pianist Christopher O'Reilly.
Thanks very much, and welcome, everybody. Right off, I want to thank Mechanics Hall for bringing us here because, well, because it's always nice to thank your hosts, but more to the point, I love this hall. This is a gorgeous place. Mechanics Hall was built 150 years ago, just before the Civil War, and it's gorgeous to look at. But forget about looks. This place has the finest acoustics of any room in the world. It's just an amazing place. Most sought after room. A very sought after recording venue, a great concert venue with an amazing history too. Thoreau, Dickens, Teddy Roosevelt have all stood on this stage, as have all the greatest classical musicians. Caruso, Dvorak, Itzhak Perlman, me. That wasn't a laugh line, but that's okay. But this show isn't about the history of classical music, it's about the future of classical music. So we're going to hear our first young musician, a young woman with a bright musical future. Please welcome, from Sleepy Hollow, New York, 15-year-old trumpet player Kyla Moskovich. Kyla, welcome. I'm a little bit intimidated by you because you are the first young musician we've ever had on our program who has a sponsor, like a sponsorship, like with Nike or something. Well, she's not wearing Nike. So that's, no, it's for the manufacturer of your trumpet, right?
Yeah.
So well, who makes your trumpet?
The people who make my trumpets, they're called Stomvi, S-T-O-M-V-I.
And where are they based?
In Valencia, Spain.
And so how did you come to be a Stomvi artist?
My father used to take lessons from a trumpet player in Argentina. And as he was leaving his lessons, maybe once a week, he would see this guy, and the guy would see him, and he'd just eye him, and they would walk away. And then one day, when I was at a competition a couple of years ago, my dad saw the guy who he had eyed out of when he was walking out of his lesson, and he recognized him and confronted him and said hi. And the guy had heard me perform in the competition, and he obviously liked the way I played, so he asked me to try one of his trumpets and give my feedback of what I thought of it. And he started sending me more and more, and yeah.
A bunch of trumpets from this guy. And so now you're a Stomvi artist. I mean, so what's the deal? I mean, so I see you don't have Stomvi like stenciled on your back or anything, on your trousers or anything.
I don't go that far with it.
But it's just if I say, you know, it's enough for us to say, what kind of trumpet do you play?
I play Stomvi trumpet.
Yeah. Well, tell everybody, Kyla, what you and I are going to play with this Stomvi trumpet.
Well, with this Stomvi trumpet, I'm going to be playing with him a Kennan Sonata first movement.
All right. When you're set, we'll take it from the top.
Thank you.
15-year-old trumpeter from Sleepy Hollow, New York, Kyla Moskovich, playing the first movement of Kent Kennan's Trumpet Sonata with strength and vigor. I think you filled the bill there for Mr. Kennan. I mean, that's very strong and just filled this room so fantastically well.
Thank you.
It's so majestic, and the great sound of the Stomvi trumpet. You know, what can you say? So, Kyla, in addition to having amazing classical chops, I understand you're really into jazz too. How did you get into jazz initially?
Well, my dad, as I said before, is also a trumpet player, and I grew up listening to the music, and I think it's wonderful, and I have so much fun playing it, and you can interact with people in so many different ways that it brings people together, and it's great.
But I mean, you say listening to, but I mean, your parents would take you to jazz clubs since you were how old?
Well, they would take me to jazz concerts and jazz clubs since I was really, really little, like when I was first born. And it's great. I mean, I grew up with it. It's amazing. And I actually played in a couple growing up, too.
Played in clubs, like in New York?
Yeah.
Wow. So, well, that's right. You got a great story about a particular late night in one of those clubs. Who was on the bandstand?
Yeah. Well, I went to a concert of John Faddis, who was a teacher of mine.
Great trumpet.
An amazing trumpet player. Mm-hmm. And he asked me to play with him. And so I was up playing with him, and we had a great time. And out of nowhere, a news crew shows up, and with them is Tony Bennett. And
wow.
Yeah.
How old were you there at that time?
This was not this past summer, but the summer before.
13, 14 years
yeah.
old.
Okay.
So did you meet Tony Bennett?
I did.
What did he say to you?
He said I did an amazing job, but also he said, I've never heard such an amazing sound come out of such a little girl.
Aww. That's great. I love Tony Bennett. You sing jazz too, don't you?
I do.
So how did you get into that?
Well, that's actually kind of a funny story. This past summer at a music camp, New York Summer Music Festival in upstate New York, Oneonta, I was in bands and jazz bands and stuff, orchestras. But the one thing that the choir teacher needed in her jazz choir was somebody who had pitch, a sense of like notation of like where pitches were, and so she could help out her jazz choir. And she picked me, and she said, "You don't need to have singing ability, but we need someone who can keep the group from going flat or going sharp."
Mm-hmm.
And so I took part in that, and I didn't actually know I could sing until then. And she put me in a jazz combo singing, and I got a couple solos, and she was like, "Wow, you're okay." So then I started progressing, and I got to sing with a big band.
Wow.
At camp, yeah.
So you must have been really good.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Gosh. Well, so jazz trumpet, classical trumpet, jazz singer. I mean, do you have any idea what you're going to pursue, or do they all work out pretty well right now, pursuing all of them? Or?
Well, I mean, I like to do a variety of things. I mean, not all musically. Like, I love to dance. I love to do sports, stuff like that. So I'm not really sure where I'm going in this direction, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be music.
Yeah, well,
it's balance it all out.
Seems like it's all working for you. So
yeah.
Just, you know, bless you and just keep it up.
Thank you.
It's fantastic. And thank you for opening the program so beautifully, Kyla.
Thank you so much.
Great being with you.
Thank you.
Bravo. Kyla Moskovich, 15 years old, a trumpeter from Sleepy Hollow, New York, and her Stomvi trumpet.
Do you know a great brass player who should be on our show? Send them over to our website to download an application. That's fromthetop.org. From the Top is made possible in part by the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, advancing the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need. On the web at jackkentcookfoundation.org, and that's Cook with an E. Chris.
Thanks, Joanne. Our second performer is that terrific pianist from right here in Massachusetts, Joanne mentioned at the top of the program, from Andover, 16-year-old pianist Andy Joe. Welcome, Andy. Tell us about this wonderful, evocative music by John Harbison you're going to play for us.
This piece is called The Gatsby Etudes by John Harbison, and I will be playing the first movement called Parlors, and the second movement called Parties. Now, these etudes are based on an opera that John Harbison wrote, which was in turn based on the book, The Great Gatsby. And this is the kind of piece that no one really plays, so when I first got the piece, it was really kind of had to hack my own way through the jungle kind of deal. And I was lucky enough to get both the dedicatee and the composer to help me out on that, so it was a nice experience for me.
Great. So let's hear this definitive performance. Take the stage. Andy Joe, 16-year-old pianist from Andover, Massachusetts, playing for us John Harbison's Gatsby Etudes. Those seem like they must be so much fun to work on.
Too much fun.
Yeah.
Too much fun.
I mean, John Harbison has got to be one of the most
masterful. It's a party to work on.
It is, but I mean, he's a masterful composer, but also somebody who really obviously revels in the fun of recreating sort of the Roaring Twenties.
Oh, definitely.
Style.
I played it for one of my friends, and they actually said, "I've never heard a piece that evoked the 20s
yeah.
better." I mean, it's wonderful.
That's just great, yeah. Andy. It's not only great to have you on the show as a wonderful pianist, but you're a self-described icebreaker. You're socially adept, would you say, more than usual, more than most people?
Icebreaker, I guess, as a generalization. The simplest way to put it is I'm the first one to open my mouth before anyone else.
First day of school, for instance?
For instance, I remember last year there was an English class, and I joined the class halfway through the year because of a little schedule mix-up. And before I went into the class, apparently the class was just dead. You know, there's no discussion, nothing going on there. I go, and by the end of the year, people are having shouting matches and, well, I guess icebreaker, yeah, in that sense.
I think that's a good thing. That sounds good to me. So, Andy, you're a gregarious sort of guy, but what is this I read about you? You don't have a cell phone?
No, I do not have a cell phone. I guess I'm just the last Neanderthal living in that cave.
How can you be a teenager living without a cell phone?
Well, I've just never needed one. You know, it's never been something that I've wanted. I've never seen my friends talking on their cell phones, texting, and thought, oh my God, I want to do that so bad. I mean, I've never felt that urge within me. So, you know, for the most part, it works out perfectly fine. I mean, all right, occasionally I might want to hang out with my friends. Mm-hmm. We set up a place to meet. I go there, they're not there. And we're chasing each other around for a little bit. And then finally I bump into them and they go, and I'm like, where the bleep were you? Mm-hmm. And they say, well, where the bleep is your cell phone? And you know, for me, I mean, I'm just perfectly fine without one.
Yeah, it sounds like they're slacking off because they have a cell phone.
Exactly.
Using an excuse.
There's no excuse. Yeah. Same goes for iPods.
iPods? You don't even have an iPod?
No.
Don't you like music?
It's all in here.
It's all in his head.
It's all in my head.
You do something else at the piano that I also love doing quite a bit. You make arrangements on the piano of popular songs.
That's correct.
How did you get into that?
Before middle school, I didn't really pay attention all that much to the music scene, classical or pop. It was just whatever my teacher gave me, I just played, and that's what I played, and that's what I heard. Then I had a friend come over once, and he said, Andy, have you heard this song? And I said, what song? And he said, Led Zeppelin, Immigrant Song.
Great song.
It is a great song.
Yeah.
He comes over to my house. We copy the internet, Google it. We found the MP3. I listened to it, and immediately I just felt this kind of vibe, you know, going through me hearing the Immigrant Song, you know, and I thought, how great would that be if I could get that same vibe playing the piano?
Yeah.
So I just thought, well, what if I tried playing this song on the piano? So I went about, I started to use my ears, I listened to the song, and I, you know, tried it out on the piano, made this really primitive transcription.
And just chords and melody.
Chords
just to
and melody,
get started,
stuff
yeah.
like that, yeah. Mm-hmm. And even then it was too hard for me.
Well, so from there, I mean, because I've done a lot of, you know, recording my own versions, and, and I start out exactly the same way. You know, a song sort of takes over your imagination, and immediately being, you know, selfish, you know, aesthetes, our pianist mentality, how can I do that on the piano? So it just gets inside you, and you try and figure out a way to work it. So once you've got the melody and the harmony, what happens then?
Well, I actually start with... We know that, you know, pop songs are relatively repetitive. Like, you know, that funky beat, you know, or the bass line, that kind of thing. I figure that out. And then I go for the melody. I go listen through the song, I write down the melody, and I put some chord symbols on top of it, and almost like a fake book version. Mm-hmm. And then I try to listen for the different parts, you know, that maybe, you know, different parts of the band would play. And finally, the hardest part is definitely taking those parts and trying to put them together. So, you know, stuff that's, you know, like a six-piece band and then remixed in a recording studio, I have to fit all that into 10 fingers.
Yeah.
And that's really the hardest part of it, I think.
Yeah, it makes it a real challenge.
Yeah.
But, I'm just wondering if we, you know, could we just hear a little bit
sure.
of one of your things?
It's not really as hard as the Gatsby, I promise.
It's no more Gatsby. That was the great middle period Michael Jackson hit, Thriller.
Thriller.
It's just inestimable in its insouciance and yet great virtuosic pastiche. It's actually a very nice transcription the way you've done
Thank you.
And it fits pretty nicely in your hands, and it sounds brilliant in this room. It's just so do you do a lot of these, Andy? I guess if we want to hear or see some of your other things, where do we go?
Well, a few months ago, I decided, how cool would it be to record a couple of these on video and put them on YouTube?
Yeah.
Of course, we're in the user-generated media generation.
Yeah.
So I created a YouTube. I put a little social commentary in there. My YouTube name is Another Asian Piano Kid.
AZN. Another Asian piano kid.
Yeah. On there, I have, I have a handful of my transcriptions on there, not including Michael Jackson, so you just...
Hey,
you just
got the exclusive.
You got the exclusive, yeah. I have some Usher, some hip-hop on there as well. Yeah.
Very nice. Got hip-hop on the piano. I've never been able to do that myself, so I'm definitely going to have to check that out, and I hope you keep doing it and playing so great all the time. Great to have you with
Thank
us,
Thank you
Andy.
Very much.
Thanks for being
Thank
with us.
Thank you.
Andy Joe, 16-year-old pianist from Andover, Massachusetts. Now you have to give a warm welcome for our local kid on today's show from nearby Westford, Massachusetts, a very talented 17-year-old cellist, Patrick McGuire. Patrick, welcome. I'm looking forward to playing this piece with you. Tell everybody what it is.
We'll be playing the second movement of Schumann's Cello Concerto in A minor.
Thank you.
Patrick McGuire, 17-year-old cellist from Westford, Massachusetts, playing the second movement of Schumann's Cello Concerto. Just wonderful playing
Thank
that piece
much.
With you. And you have such a wonderful way, the rhetoric of it. You know, Schumann, you always feel like there's a sense of storytelling, you know, and really getting that sense on the cello is quite rare. So now you're from Westford, but you study at a wonderful arts boarding school not so far from here.
Yeah, I study at Walnut Hill School for the Arts in Natick.
And I hear you're sort of a troublemaker there. You don't come off as a troublemaker to me, but what kind of trouble are you getting up to at Walnut Hill?
Well, I like to make prank phone calls.
Prank phone calls? Uh-huh. So what kind of things, you know, you call somebody up, what happens?
I call people up, usually musical friends, and I'll hold the phone up to the piano and just start banging on the piano and see how the reaction is.
Nice. You have to hold the phone up to your ear to hear the reaction, though, Patrick. You just have to kind of get it back and forth really quickly. So you don't get away with your prank calls much anymore. Why is that?
Not so much. I have this problem of calling the same people over and over again, and then they realize that it's just me. Mm-hmm. So one time I called my friend, her name is Audrey, and instead of just picking up and waiting, she picked up and said, "Patrick, stop calling me."
Yeah, I had a bunch of girlfriends who would say things like that. I wasn't making prank phone calls, though. But you know, Patrick, you're not the first classical musician to make prank phone calls. Pronto.
I was wondering, is your refrigerator running?
Cut it out, Johann Sebastian. I know it's you. Stop calling me. See what I mean? Old man Bach prank calling Domenico Scarlatti. I mean, it's been going on for as long as there's been telephones. I guess they didn't have telephones back then. But Patrick, you have on occasion been totally out-pranked by other kids. I like your story about the youth orchestra tour to China.
Yeah, this summer I was lucky enough to travel with NEC's Youth Philharmonic Orchestra to China, and we had an exchange with a high school orchestra over there. We were eating lunch in their cafeteria, and they had all sorts of food on the table, and I just started taking everything I saw and experimenting. And I asked some of the Chinese students what this one food was. It looked like noodles. And they said, "Oh, they're just noodles. It's really good." So I started eating it. And when I did, they started laughing. And I noticed it tasted a little bit weird, but I didn't know what the problem was. And then they looked at me and they said, "You're eating dog intestines."
Ooh. Good of you to be experimental, though, Patrick. Yeah. You definitely got punked on the dog intestines. Stay away from the dog intestines and the telephone, young man. Stick to the cello. Great having you with us, Patrick.
Thank you.
Fantastic playing. Patrick McGuire, 17-year-old cellist from Westford, Massachusetts.
Welcome back to the Radio Showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country. From the top. This week, we're broadcasting from Mechanics Hall in Worcester, Massachusetts. Coming up, a Brahms Hungarian dance performed by the youngest student attending the prestigious Curtis Institute of Music in Philadelphia, 13-year-old violinist Elizabeth Basoff-Darskaya. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston, where talented young musicians are creating a new century of musical excellence. Today's show is made possible by Mechanics Hall, with special thanks to the Worcester Telegram and Gazette. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Thanks, Joanne. It's all too rare that we're able to feature a woodwind quintet on our show, so when we find one we like, we spare absolutely no expense to bring them together. The kids who are on stage with me now are from all over. We've got Priscilla Wadsworth, 17-year-old flutist from West Blockton, Alabama; Lauren Hallio, 16-year-old oboist from Williamsburg, Virginia; John Diodati, 16-year-old clarinetist from Andover, Massachusetts; Matt Sachs, 17-year-old bassoonist from Columbia, Maryland; and Cynthia Simpson, 17-year-old French horn player, also from Alabama, but Cynthia's from Prattville. Please welcome the Affinato Quintet. And our French horn player, Cynthia, is at the mic. Cynthia, welcome. This group is a far-flung ensemble. How did you all get together?
Well, we were all attending the Boston University Tanglewood Institute, and they put everyone in chamber groups, and we just happened to work.
That's great. So this is actually the reunion tour of the Affinato Quintet.
Yes.
I'm all for that. Well, we're going to hear much more about your idyllic summer in the Berkshires after you play. Tell everybody about the piece you brought for us.
We are going to be playing Paul Hindemith's Kleine Kammermusik, movements 1 and 5.
Thank you.
Affamato Wind Quintet, ages 16 and 17 years old, playing two movements of Paul Hindemith's Kleiner Kammermusik. They're from Alabama, Virginia, Maryland, and Massachusetts, and they met last summer at Boston University's Tanglewood Institute in the Berkshire Mountains here in Massachusetts. Two members of the quintet have joined me for a talk, 17-year-old bassoonist Matt Sachs and French hornist Cynthia Simpson, also 17 years old. That was really splendid. Matt, what does affinado mean, the wind quintet's name?
It actually means in tune in Portuguese, but it can also mean blend. So depending on our performance, we can change the meaning.
So you're really throwing down the gauntlet there.
Yeah.
You know, the in tune and
might be
together.
A curse.
It's a beautiful word, and Portuguese is a beautiful language. I guess I should say afinado or something. And actually, I guess last summer was so amazing, you're still having saudades. That's another one of my favorite Portuguese words. Do you know what that one means?
I don't.
Fond remembrances, saudades.
I remember it.
So it was amazing, I guess. Cynthia, I hear it transformed your horn playing.
Oh, yes. For the first time in my entire life, I learned how to breathe.
Just all of a sudden
at
Tanglewood? What was it, the air or just tightening up the embouchure to keep the black flies out of your mouth?
Well, it was actually like I learned how to support, which, you know, helped pitch, and then how long I could hold notes and things like that. So
it all just came together.
Yeah, just magically.
That's great. But, you know, in addition to the great musical experiences you all had, you five became great friends. I mean, you were just kind of put together in this group, I guess, mm-hmm. and you just kind of hit it off?
Yeah.
It was actually kind of fortuitous because Cynthia was the first person I met, and then we just kind of got put in the quintet together, and then from there, we would just have fun.
Hang out.
And play good music. We would sit on roofs, and throw eggs at people.
Got stalked.
All the important Tanglewood activities.
Everything. Just normal things.
Getting stalked by the composers at camp to play their music. And
that's right, yeah.
Everyone's after us.
Watch out for that.
You know, just...
Matt, I guess you guys spent a lot of time this summer laughing.
Yes. There were many times when one of the members would just start laughing. I don't even know why, but we would just keep laughing, and then we couldn't get back on track. And
if you can't keep a straight face playing a wind instrument, you're in big trouble.
No.
And make even funnier noises, and that just kind of feeds the...
And then we try and get serious, but that just made it worse, and then...
Usually me and Priscilla.
Yeah.
Right.
Then it kind of was contagious after that.
So sounds like a real great time you guys had. So, Matt, was it hard to go home and leave all of that?
Yeah, definitely. At least for me, my hometown is not the most... musically adapted. There, most of the people in my school focus on sports and other things. There's not many. We don't even have an orchestra at our school, and the band program is minimal. And then I go to Tanglewood, and I meet people who are critiquing the Boston Symphony Orchestra, and then go home to people who don't know an oboe from a bassoon. So
pretty high-end musical talk,
yeah.
and hard to get back into the swing of things back at home. I know
Definitely.
You were crying, Cynthia, when you heard you were going to get back together again, the opportunity to play together again.
Yeah, I called Priscilla, like, as soon as I found out, and I was like, Priscilla, we get to be on the quintet. And we were both, like, crying, and I was like, are you going to do it? She was like, of course. And then all of us were really excited, and there was crying when we got back together, and it was...
But crying, I imagine, also when you had to say goodbye at the end of the summer at Tanglewood, too. Yeah.
It's a recurring thing, crying when we see each other, when we leave.
So you probably have a bunch of photographs of you all, like, teary-eyed and blubbering. And, you know.
I have to take all new photos.
We'll take new photos tonight. This is a very good idea. Well, your experiences at Tanglewood add up to one of those really special summers that maybe you can only have when you're young. So we thought we'd celebrate with a little quiz called Classical Summers. Bringing back the other three members of your quintet up to the mics to play this little game with you. Welcome, Priscilla, Lauren, John. We want to divide you into two teams, but there are five of you, so let's see. Okay, we're going to put Priscilla and Matt together, and Lauren and John, you can have Cynthia on your team, because, of course, we can't have the two Southern Belles on the same team. You know, the Alabama,
Aww.
You know, the South might rise again otherwise, you know, you never know. Okay, these are questions about the wonderful things that happen in the world of classical music during the summer. Let's test your noisemakers. Priscilla and Matt, what have you got? Cute. And Lauren, John, and Cynthia's noisemaker goes like... Okay, here we go. Just chime in whenever you know the answer to the question. Question one. Which of the following orchestras is not matched correctly with its summer home? A, the Chicago Symphony and the Ravinia Festival. B, the Philadelphia Orchestra and the Mann Center for the Performing Arts. C, the New York Philharmonic and the Sun Prairie Corn Festival. Or D, the Cleveland Orchestra and the Blossom Music Festival. That sounds like Cynthia over there.
Okay, John, Lauren. I just buzzed because I wanted to buzz before Priscilla and Matt. So you're going to have to help me. I'm leaning towards the Corn Festival.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
Yeah.
I
think. Okay, so we're going to go with, I think the answer was C, the Corn Festival.
New York Philharmonic and the Sun Prairie Corn Festival. It sounds like a great matchup, but in fact, the New York Philharmonic does not really have an official summer home, so that's the correct answer.
Yes, high five.
Question number two. Which of the following excerpts from Vivaldi's Four Seasons is from the Summer Concerto? Is it excerpt one? Excerpt number two? Or excerpt number three? That was the Four Seasons as recorded by Porky Pig and E. Solis TV Disney. No, that was actually Matt chiming in with the answer, I hope.
I think I know this one. I'm going to say three.
Excerpt number three was not. Anybody else want to have a go at this? Cynthia?
Okay. No, John and Lauren.
I think we'd like to go with excerpt number one.
I think that's a good way to go, because that's the correct answer.
Okay,
is number
go
one.
John! Yay, John! Matt!
That was the mad dash for parking at Tanglewood. All right, last question. Finish the following lyric from George Gershwin's classic, Porgy and Bess. Summertime and living is easy. Fish are jumping and A, I'm eating some pie. B, the cotton is high. C, a bug's in my eye. Or D, I'm so hot I could die. Cynthia.
Was it B, the cotton is high?
The cotton is high, indeed, yeah.
Okay, I trust her. I trust her again.
That was our last question. Joanne, who's the winner?
It is a clear-cut win. It goes to Lauren, John, and Cynthia.
Yeah.
Thank you for playing our game.
Nice. Woo! Guys, I'm really glad we could get you together for this. You sounded great. It's obviously great for you guys to be spending more time together, and I hope it's not the last time.
No.
You guys take care, and thanks for being
Thank
with
you.
Us.
Thank you.
Members of the Affinato Wind Quintet, ages 16 and 17 years old, following their Summer of Love at Tanglewood. Priscilla Wadsworth, Lauren Hallio, John Diodati, Matt Sachs, and Cynthia Simpson.
Podcasts of From the Top are available every week at npr.org/podcasts. Each year, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation present 25 performers of exceptional musical ability, outstanding academic potential, and financial need with a $10,000 Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Award. Learn more at fromthetop.org. Chris.
Our final performer is our youngest of the day and one of those Jack Kent Cook young artists Joanne just mentioned. Please welcome, from Sherman Oaks, California, now living in Philadelphia and studying at the Curtis Institute, 13-year-old violinist Elizabeth Basov-Darskaya. So, Elizabeth, I understand you've just arrived at Curtis and you realize suddenly you're the youngest student there. What's it like?
Well, I think it's a very good experience and I really like the people that study there, and they're really nice to me, and it's also a very great education, and And the people there are even better than some people in middle school, like my age.
Yes, indeed. Why don't you introduce the piece we're going to play together?
Okay, we are going to play Hungarian Dance No. 5 by Johann Brahms, and I hope you enjoy it.
Okay, great way to end the show. I want to thank all of our great young performers today, and thank you all for joining me and listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Join us next week, and as soon as I sit down at the piano, Elizabeth, we'll take it from the top.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Vagley for Tom Vagley Productions, with Tim Banker for From the Top. The music producer is Tom Venieri, and the tour producer is David Balsam. Our production manager is Elizabeth DeVore, with lighting by Kenneth Helvig. Our technical director is Baird Willett, with Dan Hallis and John Servies. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is produced in association with WGBH Boston. Our home and educational partner is New England Conservatory in Boston. To download an application to appear on our program, visit fromthetop.org.